Hello, welcome to About Regional. My name's Ian Campbell. I'm sitting on the red and orange rocks alongside the famous Tathra Wharf on the far south coast of New South Wales. The fish are running at the moment, so there's a few fishermen trying their luck on the wharf. But as I sit here chatting to you, there's a bushfire emergency unfolding at Bunyip, to the south of here in Victoria. And in just a handful of days, this place will remember the bushfire emergency it faced 1 year ago. There was trouble in the air on the morning of March 18, 2018, a hot, windy, hideous day. The region was already on high alert. By the end of that day, flames had swept through Reedy Swamp, Vimy Ridge and Tathra. 65 homes were lost. To the west of where I'm sitting, the landscape still bears the scars of that day. Trees stripped right back to bare bones and scorched earth where those 65 homes once stood. This podcast is a collaboration between About Regional, the Australian Red Cross, and the Southeast Primary Health Network. Over the next three episodes, we'll explore some of the things that might be going on for you or someone you know 1 year on from the bushfires. In episode one, we hear from David Younger, a clinical and consultant psychologist. You might have met him before. He was in the Bega Valley just a few weeks after the bushfires. David also has experience with the Victorian Black Saturday bushfires of 10 years ago. He's keen to get you thinking about this anniversary, 1 year on, and what it might mean for you and this community.
I think it's a really important starting point, Ian, to talk about the variety of experiences that people have after a natural disaster event such as a bushfire. There really is no one sort of same experience that everybody has. So I'll sort of make some comments here and then lead into the anniversary. And just in thinking about where people might be up to in the Tathra, Bega and surrounding communities in the lead up to the first anniversary. So, you know, we'll probably have people who feel like they've actually achieved a lot and that they're well on track, you know, as they come up to this first anniversary.
And that's very much the case. You go to Tathra now and you can see the momentum in the community, the effort that some people have been putting in to restoring their homes, restoring their property.
Then at the other end of the scale, we'll quite possibly have people in the community who feel like they've barely started, you know, for a variety of reasons. They might just be receiving planning approval on their home, you know, and the foundations are yet to be dug out and laid. So for them, it could be like we're at a year already, but we're just at this point.
You're very right there. Both those things are happening.
And then, of course, we have everybody that's in between those sort of two extremes in a way. And sort of the other things I think that we could start to be aware of for the Tathra, Bega and surrounding communities are, of course, we've had the lead into summer and I think therefore the increased fire risk and the tourist season as well is what I think of. So again, the area becoming busier. So, you know, part of what could be going on for people in the lead into the anniversary is perhaps not having given it too much consideration at this point in time. Yeah, and I mean, I've got no doubt that there'll be a small collection of people who have given it a lot of thought, but for others, it's quite possibly that something that's just sitting there in sort of the back, maybe the forefront of their mind, but they won't think about it too much until the week before or the days before.
And just listening to your talk there, there's a few layers that perhaps get put on top of that sort of thought. You know, summer, busy tourist season, Christmas, New Year, family and friends coming to town. They're things that perhaps bury those thoughts.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that we talk about, well, in recovery in general and in the lead up to an anniversary, is thinking about what people is sort of suggesting people that they take stock ahead of time prior to the anniversary and just start to give some thought to what they actually want to make that anniversary about for themselves. So if I just kind of explain that even a little bit more... you know, and this will be for the smaller proportion of people, but something, again, like a significant fire that destroys a lot of property and landscape usually is a really disconcerting experience, brings with it a lot of disruption to normal day-to-day life. You know, the normal daily habits and routines, they can get pushed aside. And part of that is this sort of need that people tend to feel of just keeping going. Yeah, so they're very busy and their time is taken up with things. But one of the one of the things we like to encourage people to do, and this is about helping restore a sense of control, is give some thought to what you want the anniversary to be about for you, because in fact it can be for you whatever you want it to be.
What have you seen work in other communities or in other situations where people have had to deal with a trauma? What are some of the things that have worked for people? What are some of the ideas you've seen when it comes to marking these sort of occasions?
Sure. Well, look, let me give you an example here, because what we've just had in Victoria recently, of course, is the 10th anniversary of the 2009 fires. Mm-hmm. And look, there's absolutely no doubt that the 2009 fires were really significant and profound and involved a lot of trauma because there was significant loss of life. And so I guess in that we have a differentiating or a different point to the fires in Tathrabega where there was no loss of life. However, there have been a number of anniversaries and the 10th anniversary was a big one. So what I noticed is, because I still work in my private practice with quite a few people who went through the 2009 fires, were a collection of people who hadn't made that space to consider the anniversary. And what happened in just the 1 week prior to was the re-experiencing of emotions and memories associated with 2009 and the events afterwards. And what I also noticed was a significant, it was really a surprise to people. It was unexpected that this long after the event, they were still re-experiencing in this way. So because they hadn't anticipated it, it brought with it a sense of anxiety. The second thing I noticed was people saying, these people saying, look, I hadn't actually planned to do anything at all for the anniversary, but now that I feel this way, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. But they just had 2 or 3 days left to figure out what they were going to do. So in terms of what works best for people or what works better for people, it is the taking a bit of time out beforehand and making a decision about what's going to be personally suitable. And then we could sort of work our way into the range of options that are available to mark an anniversary.
One of the other things I've noticed as I move in and around Tathra is the range of experiences that people had on the 18th of March and have had since. There are people who lost their homes, there are people who lost their neighbours, there are people who mourn for the impact on the environment and their community. I would like to think that people who come from that broad range of experiences also see the anniversary as an opportunity for them to acknowledge their different experiences and the fact that they might need to process it themselves. Even though they might not have lost a home, people come to this with all sorts of things that perhaps need to be acknowledged.
Yeah, I think what we see as usually happening, Ian, is that people, those community members that experience the fire, they have a shared sense of identity. Mm-hmm. There's an automatic connectedness between them. And that's usually quite different to the people that didn't experience the fire on the day or who live in a different area. So what we see happens, and I'll just lead into a few things here, is that sometimes the people who live outside of an affected area can be a little bit sort of misunderstanding or judgmental of those who are still affected by the experience. So there's this common phrase that tends to come out, actually, and it's about people getting over it. We're at a year now, aren't people over it? And it's a very misguided comment that comes from a lack of understanding. So I just want to sort of make this point, I guess, differentiation between these sort of two groups.
It's a good one. Yep.
To go into what you've said there, Ian, yes, there's always a collection of different experiences. And even those people who have this shared sense of going through it together can be at different personal states in their recovery. So some people will still be quite traumatised and very stressed by what they saw on the day or actually what's happened to them afterwards. Other people won't be stressed or traumatised. They might, for example, be low and flat instead. And these sort of different experiences can cause people to think and feel in different ways. So there's a bit of a golden rule or a golden suggestion here for communities, and that is to not make assumptions about what you think someone is going through. Mm. Just work to be respectful of people's individual experiences, because we never really know what's going on behind closed doors.
David, the other people I'm keen to acknowledge as well are the people who responded to the fire on that day, the RFS, National Parks, the Forestry Corporation, Fire and Rescue New South Wales, the people that are rushing into those flames. They'll have their own experience with this as well.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that occurs commonly after bushfires as well. And we see a range of experiences. You know, these can be the firefighters that feel an incredible amount of guilt because they think that they should have done a better job or they should have been able to save homes. Versus, I guess, the other end of the spectrum where there are those firefighters and other first responders as well who know that they did a very good job. And, you know, then again, we have a collection of experiences within that. But, yeah, we really should acknowledge them. And I think as a part of anniversaries and as a part of building and strengthening community resilience, acknowledging that generally the best efforts are always done on the day. And I think in Australia and in our states, really governments, local governments and emergency services are always working hard to improve response. We could never probably respond perfectly, but how can you fight a fire or deal with a flood perfectly? It's a natural disaster, so we need to remain aware of those things.
Wise words. What's your advice for people, I guess, in the Bega Valley more broadly, wanting to support their family and friends in Tathra, but not knowing quite how to do it, who are reluctant to perhaps ask a question or dig a bit deeper? What's your advice for those people when it comes to the anniversary and sharing that space with people who are doing it tough still?
Yeah, look, I think I was going to say three suggestions, but perhaps four. One, don't be afraid to ask. Two, listen. Listening is so important. Listening in itself, we could almost think of as a mental health intervention, but you don't need to be a trained professional to deliver it. Kindness is something that goes a long, long way. And then fourthly, I wanted to mention that because people often feel a sense of unease and anxiety about asking someone how they're going and then sitting and listening to a person who might just talk for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but bear in mind, that in itself is incredibly helpful. You know, if you're not a trained psychologist or counsellor, there can be this sense of unease about, what do I do with that? Well, just listen, but also, if you hear that a person is struggling practically, and this is the fourth suggestion, offer to provide some practical assistance. Yeah, can I cut your lawn? Can I come round and help you with some cleaning? Do you want me to, you know, do whatever it happens to be, catch up on some things? And, you know, people would be surprised at how even just in those experiences, people who've never spoken, they will just start talking about their experience at that moment. Yep. And that's incredibly helpful for them.
Good advice. What about post the anniversary? I cringe at using the word journey, but this has been a journey for many people. Yeah. What comes after the 18th of March, what might people start to see and feel once we move past that first anniversary?
So in the lead up, there's usually the increase in emotions, sensations, bodily experiences and memories. But then in the days and the weeks after, usually they settle down. And they will settle down for the people that don't have a more of a profound, long-lasting sort of impact left on them. But what I want to sort of suggest to listeners and people who read the article and, of course, to community members and others, perhaps take stock of four things. So check in with themselves and others around them in regards to four things. And these are the four common effects of a natural event like a fire that we tend to talk about. So there's stress and what the level of stress is that is still ongoing in a person's life. There's disruption. And disruption is the ongoing impact and effect of changes to routines brought about by the natural disaster experience. There's then loss, the amount of loss that someone has experienced. And I mention loss because loss brings grief, and the grief doesn't have to be brought about by loss or death of people. It can be loss of pets, loss of animals, loss of material possessions. And then fourthly, there's trauma. Is someone still suffering trauma? And if they are a year after the event, then really they well and and truly should be seeking some sort of more formal assistance, and family and friends can raise people's awareness to that and hopefully help link them into community-based services.
Mm-hmm. We've spent a lot of time rightly acknowledging the hard feelings and the pressure that many will feel around the anniversary, but it's also an opportunity to celebrate the success of this community and what has come from this bad experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And although it can sound like a lot of the time we're talking about the things that can go badly or the negative effects, I mean, that the reality is that these negative effects affect the smaller proportion of people. It's the far greater proportion of people in community that recover and recover well, you know. And then we actually start to move into another area, which these days is referred to as growth or post-traumatic growth. And this is a term, a really well-documented and identified term that refers to the way in which people make changes in their life. They grow and develop positively, personally, but in a whole range of areas in their life as a result of having been through a challenging experience. Mm-hmm. And this is just one aspect. This is without even looking at the way in which communities can bond together or fuse together and become stronger, more coherent and resilient as they move forward into the future as well.
David, we've used the word recovery a number of times. Recovery has also been used in and around the Tathra community for the last 12 months. But that word recovery has started to collect a bit of baggage for people. There are people who really resent that word recovery now. It sort of brings up all sorts of emotions and feelings for them in a negative way. Have you struck that before?
Yeah, absolutely, Ian, in many, many communities previously. And, you know, I think this word recovery, which is used a lot in post-emergencies or post-natural disasters, I think that we really need to be careful in our use of it. It's not that we shouldn't use it or we can't use it. I think it's just that we need to have an understanding of what's implied within the use of that word. Mm-hmm. So probably what's happening for people who start to feel a sense of resentment when that word is used around them or towards them is that they're feeling like there's some sort of perception or judgment that life should be back to the way it was before the event.
You've nailed it, yes. Yep.
Yeah. And so this is what's sort of also coming through when people say, aren't you over it yet? It's kind of like saying, aren't you recovered yet? It's been a year. But, you know, what we find is that recovery is, for some people, it is going to be possible to get everything back to exactly the way it was. But for many others, that just won't be possible. Even if you, for example, and I've heard this story many, many times in fire-affected communities, even if you rebuild your home, guess what? It's actually a different house, and it takes some time to become a home.
Yeah.
And then it will always be different. So, you know, I was talking to a man recently who actually, he and his wife finished rebuilding actually only, 6 months ago, and that's post 2009 Black Saturday. Having said that, they lived interstate for a few years. But he was telling me about this new house and how he was really just starting to pick up on the things in it that he was not happy with. And then he actually started to talk about how, in many ways, he preferred the old house that burnt down.
Mm.
And so we were able to have this conversation about recovery and how recovery usually goes best for people when they're able to take on the view that it is about adapting and being flexible to changes, but don't expect yourself and don't expect others to get back to a point where things are the same. And within that, don't push yourself and just keep working and working and working to get everything back to the way it was. Yeah, and many, many examples of this.
And what I think you're saying there is also that recovery looks different for everyone. Recovery isn't a cookie-cutter approach. It's an individual approach. It's a personal approach. And what recovery looks like is as unique as we are as individuals.
That's absolutely right. And so another phrase that people in the community might come across at some point if they haven't already is the new normal.
Ah, yes.
You heard the new normal.
We have indeed, yes.
And so my comment about the new normal is that the new normal is actually parts of the old combined with parts of the new.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably recovery is an ongoing process of combining parts of the old with parts of the new. And if we can be aware that that's what's occurring, and sort of, I'd say, Ian, in between the first and the second year, create space for ourselves to process the collection of experiences that we've had and in some way incorporate that into our life story. For example, what does having been through this really significant life event mean for me, mm-hmm. my life path and my family, and how do we build it into our sort of our history? Then that's going to take people down a good path of recovery and adjusting to a new normal.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice way of putting it, that life is a story. This is part of Tathra's story now, and I guess that sense of being comfortable with it as you move forward.
That's right. Mm. And, we should just encourage and support community members to be involved in a variety and a wide collection of activities and to also tell their stories in different ways. That can be talking, but it can be artwork, taking photographs, it can be making things, it could be working at the local men's shed, mm-hmm. bashing a piece of metal, you know, yeah. smashing it up, but whilst doing that, talking to the bloke next to you. So there's all kinds of options for telling the story, which is a really important human process, aspect of processing and digesting what we've been through. Mm-hmm. If we just leave the collection of experiences in the cupboard and never take them out to have a look at them, and unfortunately, what happens is all too often at some point down the track, something else happens, the doors open, it comes out, and people then realise, far out, I never actually made the space to think about mm-hmm. what went on in my life back then. I just sort of carried on as if it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. We're still evolving in many respects, aren't we, both as a species and as individuals? The evolution rolls on.
We are, Ian, and you know, just to bring this into it, I think what we need to bear in mind as Australians living in this natural disaster-prone country is that we are quite possibly going through a period of significant evolution or change where we'll need to become more adaptive to the ever-threatening risk of natural disasters. Mm-hmm. But humans are fantastic at adaptation, of course. And if I just sort of finish on this, there's a... some great work in America, and it has come out of, in America following Hurricane Katrina, and also in Japan following the tsunami a number of years ago, an American sociologist who himself went through Hurricane Katrina and lost everything, and I guess has become a bit of a pioneer and a guru in the area of research and recovery. And you know, all of his research, irrespective of where it is in the States, or in Japan, or in other places around the world, shows that the number one predictor of successful recovery, to use that a word again, irrespective of the amount of money, irrespective of the collection of services, irrespective of the quality of mental health treatments, etc., is the nature and quality and strength of community relationships, community connectedness. So the way people come together and support each other, and in fact the way in which community are able to communicate information to people like local government, state government, other services about what it is they need. So, you know, again, it really all comes back to community, being in it together, supporting each other, and it's, you know, actually a really important message leading into this first anniversary in March.
Clinical and consultant psychologist David Younger, a fellow that has the Bega Valley's back. As I sit here on the red and orange rocks alongside Tathra Wharf, I'm reminded of other local communities who might be wrestling with their own bushfire memories as the one-year anniversary of the Reedy Swamp, Vimy Ridge and Tathra bushfire approaches. Of course, I'm thinking of the communities of Bemboka and Brogo, who just 6 months after the flames of Tathra wrestled with the vast Yankees Gap bushfire. You'll find a range of information within the show notes, links to support services, practical nuts and bolts recovery information, and some dates for the diary as well, some events that are coming up around the anniversary that you might be interested in. Next time, we'll hear from other regional communities who are further down the recovery path. You've been listening to a special podcast series to mark the one-year anniversary of the Reedy Swamp, Vimy Ridge and Tathra bushfires. A special collaboration between About Regional, the Australian Red Cross, and the South East New South Wales Primary Health Network. My name's Ian Campbell. Take care. We'll talk again soon.